I found that sometimes reality has a way of making my words silly. Just by the way it puts these contexts around them. And she's not in here. She's with the kids, but I asked her if I could share a story. I think I've shared it once before, so this is a while back. Wendy and I were out sailing. And we've had interesting experiences on a boat. This particular time, we were just maybe a mile or two off of the entrance to the Newport Harbor, off number one buoy. And we're heading out across. Oh, thank you. That way I don't have to listen to myself. It's right here. I'm like, who's that guy? And it was nice. It was a day kind of like this. It was just gorgeous. And we're cruising along. The wind's picking up, and we're starting to pick up speed. It's really fun. And she says, just out of the blue, you know, she says, do whales ever hit boats? And I, in my great wisdom, I said, I've heard of a few instances of it. You know, ships hit them sometimes. But, I mean, the chances. I said, killer whale sank a boat. I'll tell you that story. Right? I said, killer whale sank a boat, but the chances of a whale hitting a boat are just minuscule. Beat. That's how long it was. And about from here to that screen, off of our port, just a blue whale. The spout just goes, and I look over. She looks at me, and just tears streaming, just tears coming right down her face. She's shaking. And then we saw the fluke. And I'm feeling really stupid right then. I don't know if she sensed that there was a whale nearby or what. There was no sign of a whale. But she just happened to say, you know, maybe she's a prophetess. Sometimes she does that stuff. But
like, no, there couldn't be a whale in, you know, at least 50 feet of here. You know?
And I said, are you okay? I said, are you scared? And she says, no. It's just so overwhelming. Just the majesty of that whale right there. I don't know if you've ever seen a blue whale up close. Way different than the tiny gray whales off of our coast. But a blue whale is huge, huge. It was three times the length of our boat, easily, you know. It's just so huge. And the tears that she had, just seeing this majestic animal next to us, and perhaps the fact that it could crush our boat like an egg. That might be a little bit of the mix. But, of course, we went back, you know, once we didn't turn around then, but after we went to Catalina and came back. We come back, and what do we tell people? We saw a whale. We saw a blue whale. We saw a blue whale, which was completely silly. Because the reality was that that was both true and ridiculous at the same time. Both simultaneously true and absolutely silly and ridiculous. Viper like. Sleeper. Yeah, look for sleepers on YouTube, right? By way of comparison. Have you seen the Pacific Ocean? Yes, you have. Okay, good. Anybody go down and see the waves on Friday? Oh, there were big waves on Friday. I had to go down there. I was absolutely beat from finals, but there was 20 minutes where I could go see the wave. They said, you know, 12-foot waves. I have to go see them. So I went down to Huntington, saw the waves. So that's right. Anybody here ever been to the Louvre in Paris? You've seen the Louvre? Seen the Louvre, right? Good. Anybody ever here been to the Grand Canyon? Good. You've seen the Grand Canyon?
Liar! Liar! Liar!
Eh? The Louvre has 70,000 pieces of art in it. Have you seen the Louvre? Some of it. Have you seen the Pacific Ocean? I mean, think about it.
We would all say, yeah, I've seen the Pacific Ocean. We live right there. I've seen... Really?
The Pacific Ocean? Have you seen the Pacific Ocean? Even if you get in a plane and fly all the way to Japan, you know, 12 plus out, you've seen this little tiny band of Pacific Ocean from way up high. We didn't see a blue whale. We saw a patch of blue whale. And that was that overwhelming thing for Wendy, is that there was so much more underneath that patch of blue whale. There was an upswell of water where that thing, you know, like boiling up. And just that sense of here's something so huge. We didn't see a blue whale. And in fact, we saw so little of that blue whale that it almost plays us as false to have said we saw a blue whale. Because at some point, it's kind of ridiculous to say, I saw that blue whale. I didn't see that blue whale. I saw a glimpse of the blue whale. I saw a section of blue whale. I have seen a flash of the Pacific Ocean. I have seen, you know, a little tiny trail in the Grand Canyon. Have you seen the Grand Canyon, really? Can you imagine what it would take to see the Grand Canyon? Helicopter, a lot of fuel, but even then, you'd be buzzing right through it. Really? The complexity of the Grand Canyon, all the layers, all the depths, all the nooks, all the crannies, how many lizards do you think are there? When really think about seeing something, I haven't even seen my backyard. You know, because you can focus down in. Oh my gosh, look at all those bugs. Wow, look at those weeds. There's way more weeds here than I've ever seen in my backyard that I should do something about, and I haven't. I haven't seen my backyard. I've glimpsed my backyard. I've surveyed my backyard. I haven't seen it. And I probably never will. See, the problem is that our scope of vision is limited. I don't care how you get situated toward the Pacific Ocean, you're not going to see the Pacific Ocean. You get way up high, you're not going to see the Pacific Ocean. You're going to lose stuff because you're far away. You get way down close into it, you're not going to see the Pacific Ocean because your vision is so narrow. The problem is human perception is limited in scope, and all we can really see is that which saturates our vision. We can see enough of a blue whale to go, oh my gosh. And vision is full. It's totally saturated, that's all. Try any harder and you're trying to stuff the ocean into a teacup. You're not going to do it. No matter how hard you try, you're not going to get more than a cup full of ocean in that teacup. And we're not going to get more than a human scope of perception in a human sensorium or awareness. That's the problem. Have you ever heard a symphony? Have you ever heard Handel's Messiah? Yeah. Have you ever seen the Rose Parade? Right? Have you really seen the Rose Parade? Think about how many petals are there and little strips of willow bark. Last night there was a meteor shower. Did you see the meteor shower? Even a glimpse of the meteor shower? You're out in the desert on a clear night, and you see the Milky Way. Yeah, I saw the Milky Way. Really? Do you realize that a lot of those little points of light are galaxies? And the Milky Way itself is just a galaxy? By the way, astronomers estimate 10 billion galaxies in the universe. 10 billion galaxies. Yeah. Yeah, I saw the Milky Way. Sure you did.
I've seen the Vatican.
No, you haven't. Maybe saw a little bit of one chapel. And you could spend your whole lifetime and not see it. If you have a Bible, please turn to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. So the story is Jacob has been running from his uncle Laban, and there's a little bit of a break, and a guy appears, and they wrestle all night. And we pick up in verse 26. Genesis 32, 26. The man said, "Let me go, for day is breaking." But Jacob replied, "I won't let you go unless you bless me." And he said to Jacob, "What's your name?" And he answered, "Jacob." And it's ironic because Yaakov, or Jacob, means heel grabber. So he's been grabbing the guy all night, you know. "What's your name?" "Grabber." Really? That makes sense. You know, sort of like a Fantastic Four name. It says, the man said, "Your name shall no longer be Yaakov, grabber, but Israel, because you strove with God and with men and prevailed." Jacob said, "Tell me, I pray, your name." He replied, "Why do you ask my name?" But he gave him his blessing there. Jacob called the place Peniel because, he said, and it's face of God, Peniel means, "I've seen God face to face and my life is spared." So the question is, did he see God?
Yeah.
He saw God.
Little tiny bit.
Go over to Exodus, please. Look at Exodus. Chapter 24. Here's a fun one. By the way, does everybody want to get their theology blown? This is high on the list of passages you never find preached about in evangelical churches. Okay, here we go. Exodus chapter 24. Look at verse 9. This is the setting is Israel gathered in front of Mount Sinai. "Moses went up with Aaron," that's up the mountain, "with Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel." Okay. Let's say that again. "Moses went up with Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. Under his feet there was, as it were, a pavement of sapphire, clear blue like the heavens. But the Lord didn't stretch out his hand toward the leaders of Israel. They stayed there before God, and they ate and they drank." Yeah, isn't those passages like, how come nobody ever told me about that one? Like, lunch with God, you know. 70 elders, you know, let's go have lunch with God. Go up the mountain, they saw the God of Israel, he's right there, they're seeing him face to face, and they have lunch. Which is, think about it, who made lunch? So did they see the God of Israel?
Little tiny glimpse, right?
They saw the God of Israel, and under his feet there was something, but they see him. So it's and the text is really, really clear. They saw him. This the one who you can't see and live. But they saw him, and they had lunch, which is weird. Turn over to Judges, chapter 13. Judges chapter 13.
I like this one. It's kind of funny, actually. The story is that Manoah and his wife have just received word. Actually, his wife received word that they were going to have a kid. That kid is going to be Samson. And he doesn't really track very well with it. They're both played as very, very simple in this passage. And so he needs to see the angel. And they see the angel of the Lord there. And they do an offering, and the angel of the Lord disappears. And we pick up in Judges chapter 13. Here, verse 21. Actually, verse 19. And while Manoah and his wife were watching, the flame went up from the altar toward heaven, and the angel of the Lord went up in the flame. And seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell on their faces. The angel of the Lord did not appear again to Manoah and his wife, and Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. He said to his wife, "We're going to die. We've seen God. We're going to die." It's like radiation exposure, you know. You see the big flash. Even if you survive the shockwave, you're like, "I'm going to die anyway." But she replied, "If the Lord had wanted to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted our whole offering." It's like, no, he took our offering. He's not going to kill us. I like that. She says, "You know, if the Lord wanted us dead, we'd be dead." So did they see God? He knows it's the Lord. Yeah. Little tiny glimpse. Little tiny glimpse. Just a flash of God. Like an after image. Go over to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord seated on a throne. Who did he see? The Lord. No, this is not, "I saw a computer generation image of the Lord." This is, "I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted. And the skirt of his robe filled the temple. About him were attendant seraphim." Seraphim means burning ones, by the way. "And each had six wings. One pair covered his face, one pair his feet, one pair spread in flight. They were calling ceaselessly to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" These are like the divine Guido Secret Service guys. "And as each one called, the threshold shook to its foundations while the house was filled with smoke. Then I cried, 'Woe is me! I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. Yet with these eyes I have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" Does God ever kill people? Well, you know, the chances are. "Holy, holy, holy." So big. I'm so small. And it's just the huge majesty of the Lord. And I'm dead. And that's just the glimpse. That's just the little tiny flash to let you know he's there. In Deuteronomy 5, Moses is recounting to the people of Israel about the time in the wilderness and the time at Sinai. And he says, "These commandments the Lord spoke in a great voice to your whole assembly on the mountain, out of the fire, the cloud, and the thick mist. Then he said no more. He wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me." This is Moses speaking. "When you heard the voice out of the darkness, while the mountain was ablaze with fire, all the heads of your tribes and the elders came to me and said, 'The Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness.'" He showed him his glory and his greatness. Little tiny bit. "The Lord has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the fire. Today we have seen that God may speak with men and they may still live. Why should we now risk death? For this great fire will devour us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God again, we shall die." You see, they're saturated just by that little tiny glimpse. And they say, "No more. No more. This is going to kill us. Just the glimpse is going to kill us. We are done. Our vision is full. Our existence is impacted. It's too much. Is there therefore any mortal man who has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the fire as we have and has lived? You go near and listen. I love this. We can't do it. Anyone who goes near there will die. How about you go? Have they seen the Lord? No, but it's still overwhelming. We've seen enough, they say. Now, we've been talking in Advent about the coming of the Lord and the Word made flesh. All of that compacted down. As Victor was talking, you know, this morning, sharing about that, like putting the universe in a molecule. I kept thinking about black holes, you know, on a great big huge star, they collapse down into this thing and nothing gets out of there. Not even light and time. When you put something that big down so small, just this incredible power and force right there. And that's what happens. And the Word becomes flesh and walks among us. Turn over to John chapter 1 again. We've looked at that before. John chapter 1. Verse 10, he was in the world, but the world, though it owed its being to him, didn't recognize him. He entered his own realm, and his own would not receive him. But to all who did receive him, to those who have yielded him their allegiance, he gave the right to become children of God, not born of any human stock or by the fleshly desire of a human father, but the offspring of God himself. So the Word became flesh, and he came to dwell among us. And we saw his glory, such glory as befits the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. They saw him? Little tiny glimpse. Verse 16, out of his full store, we have received grace upon grace. For while the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. Okay, so one of those places where people say, the Bible contradicts itself. No one has ever seen God, but, you know, except when they had lunch. Except, have they seen God? Oh, no, 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 no. Little time. Have you seen the Pacific Ocean? You've seen so little of the Pacific Ocean that you may as well say, I haven't seen it. So can you say, I've seen the Pacific Ocean and it be true and at the same time ridiculous and patently false? Yes. Some statements can be simultaneously true and false. That's one of those. No one has seen God at any time. Yeah, that's right. Because you could have lunch with him and still not see him. Little tiny glimpse. You saw the smiley. Just, you know, as much as a smiley is you, that's how much you saw of God. But God's only Son, he who is nearest to the Father's heart, he has made him known. These are God sightings. Turn over to Luke chapter 2. This is where we pick up today. Luke 2. Sorry. Quick, Luke. Starting at verse 8. Very, very familiar. Now, in the same district, there were shepherds out in the fields keeping watch through the night over their flock, when suddenly there stood before them an angel of the Lord. And the splendor of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terror-stricken. But the angel said, don't be afraid. I've got good news for you. Because imagine he said, I have bad news for you. It's like,
it smells like cooked sheep around here.
Sorry. There is great joy coming to the whole people. Today in the city of David, a deliverer has been born to you, the Messiah, the Lord. And this is your sign. Okay, big cosmic sign here. And this shall be your sign. You shall find a baby.
There will be a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. There's your sign, lying in a manger.
This is hardly like
da 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 da,
right? Because that's what you do with babies. You swaddle them. And you put them where you can. A manger's a little odd, but babies have been in stranger places. It's not a huge sign. And all at once there was with the angel a great company of the heavenly hosts singing in the praises of God. Glory to God in highest heaven, and on earth his peace for men on whom his favor rests. After the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, dude. Sorry. Wouldn't that be, I mean, angels and singing and glory and wow. Dude. That's I don't know. Hadudas. Hey dude. In Greek. They said to one another, come, we must go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. Let's go see this great sign of the baby in the wrappings. You know? Let's see the thing that happened. What they say, the great thing that had happened, the Messiah had come, and peace on earth, and goodwill toward men, and God making a break in on history. Let's go see it. You can't see that happen. You can see the baby.
Wrapped up.
So they went with all speed and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby was lying in the manger. When they saw him, they recounted what they had been told about this child, and all who heard were astonished at what the shepherd said. Not at the baby. It's just like, oh. That's what babies make noises. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered over them. Meanwhile, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for what they had heard and seen. Did they see the Messiah? Well, about from here up. You know, that's all. And I just figure his eyes were probably closed, you know? Oh, the great baby with the eyes closed, just the head of the baby. What great things we have seen. And it all happened as they had been told. 8 days later, they came the time to circumcise him. Okay, I'm just thinking, wow, who got that job? You're going to circumcise God. You better be good. Right? And he was given the name Jesus, a name given by the angel before he was conceived. Then after their purification had been completed in accordance with the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord as prescribed in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male shall be deemed to belong to the Lord. And also to make the offering as stated in law, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. That's the offering of the poorest of the poor, by the way. There was at that time in Jerusalem a man called Simeon. This man was upright and devout, one who watched and waited for the restoration of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been disclosed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, he took him in his arms, praised God, and said, this day, Master, thou givest thy servant his discharge in peace. Now thy promise is fulfilled, for I have seen with my own eyes the deliverance which thou hast made ready in full view of all the nations, a light that will be revelation to the heathen and glory to thy people Israel. So he saw the salvation of Israel.
Really?
All 8 pounds of salvation. And he's, I've waited all my life to see the salvation of Israel. And all those dreams he had of this, you know, the change, the Messiah coming. And he says, and I've seen it. I've seen the salvation of Israel, which I'm holding in my hands carefully right now, lest I drop it. The child's father and mother were full of wonder at what was being said about him. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to be a sign which men reject, and you too shall be pierced to the heart. Many in Israel will stand or fall because of him, and thus the secret thoughts of many will be laid bare. See, the problem is that human perception is so small, and it limits our experience. And we think that we know because we think that we see. And the people around Jesus, they just saw baby, Joseph's kid.
They thought they knew it was Joseph's kid. Oh, some expert you are.
Right? And Simeon knows people are going to reject this Messiah because human vision is so small. That's like seeing a whale breach and going, it's just a blowhole. There's nothing there.
It's just a blowhole. Don't be afraid of that. It's only, you know, 12 feet of skin.
No, there's a whole lot more there that you can't see. Simeon can see it because he can fill it in with the promise of God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But a lot of people stumble at Jesus. They scoff at him. And Simeon knows this. He says, this is the child.
There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was a very old woman who had lived 7 years with her husband and after she was first married and then alone as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple but worshiped day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up at that very moment, she returned thanks to God and talked about the child to all who were looking for the liberation of Jerusalem. And how long did she live after that? And she said, I've seen the salvation of Israel. Right there.
Did she see it completed? Did she see Jesus raised from the dead? Did she see the change of rule of the nations? Did she see the kingdom come? Like Jesus says in Mark to his disciples, he says, you know, there are some of you here that aren't going to taste death until you see the kingdom of God come in glory. Did they see it? Yes. Did they see it? No way. Simultaneously true and kind of silly. We, like they, bear witness to Jesus. They bore witness and they said, we know this is more than you are seeing. We know by the Holy Spirit, it's been revealed to us. We've seen a glimpse of the face of God. And our witness to the world is that Jesus is the face of God, which is absolutely true and to the world ridiculous.
What? You've seen God.
Yes, I've seen God. You've met God. Yes, I've met God. You're telling me that God was in 5'10" Palestinian? Yes. Yes, God there in the flesh.
You think God could do that? Well, if God is infinite, God could do that. If God can do anything, God can do that.
And we bear witness to that glimpse of God. Has the kingdom come to us? Yes, we bear witness. The kingdom has come to us. Have we seen all the kingdom?
No way.
We ain't seen nothing yet. Nothing yet.
Hebrews 1.
In former times, God spoke to our forefathers when he spoke in fragmentary and varied fashion through the prophets. But in this final age, he has spoken to us in the Son, whom he has made heir to the whole universe and through whom he created all orders of existence. The Son, who is the effulgence, or the outshining of God's splendor, and the stamp, the word there is character, of God's very being, and sustains the universe by his word of power. That's the Son. Now, have you met God? You met God? Have 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 you met God? Yeah. We've met God, which is a little bit like taking a mouthful of the Pacific Ocean. I've been swimming before. I've had a mouthful of the Pacific Ocean. What God has done in your life is the very tiniest beginning and hint of what he plans to do and what he can do. What we have seen of the kingdom is just a tiny taste. Just a little hint. Just a little shadow. It fills our vision. God's done amazing things here in our fellowship, right? Has God transformed our lives? Just a little tiny flash. What we have encountered of God is like, you know, I think of standing at the side of a supertanker. Yeah, I've seen it. God has so much more, infinitely more. In the ages to come, it says, he'll show forth his glory. In the ages to come, we are going to be tasting. We have not even begun to explore what it is to walk with God. And it's already marvelous. It's already majestic. It's filling of our vision. We've heard a prelude to Handel's Messiah. And it's more than our ears can hear. The Word made flesh dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of an only begotten of a Father, full of grace and truth. Have you seen grace and truth? You ain't seen nothing yet. Nothing. We ain't seen nothing yet. John again. The next day, this is talking about John the Baptist. The next day, he, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him. Look, he said, there's the Lamb of God who's taking away the sin of the world. Behold, oh, you saw him? Sure you did. This is he of whom I said, after me, a man is coming who ranks before me, but before I was born, he already was. I myself didn't know who he was, but the very reason why I came baptizing in water was that he might be revealed to Israel. John testified further and gave witness. I saw the Spirit coming down from heaven like a dove and resting on him. You saw the Spirit of God? It had feathers. That same one that fluttered on the chaotic deep and made the world come to be? I saw the Spirit. Yeah. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize in water had told me, when you see the Spirit coming down upon someone and resting upon him, you'll know that this is he of whom who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I saw it myself and have borne witness. This is God's chosen one. The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples when Jesus passed by. John looked toward him and said, there's the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this and followed Jesus. When he turned and saw them following, he asked, what are you looking for? God says, what you looking at?
Well, maybe because you're glowing.
They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come and see, he replied. Come and see. That's what Jesus says to us. You think you've seen, you think you've beheld. Come and see. Come and see. Come and see. And God's call to us at Advent is, you ain't seen nothing yet, so come and see. And you will be absolutely blown away. That's what Advent is all about. Let's pray. Lord, we want to see you. We want to bear witness to you, and we want to see you. And we recognize that we don't get you, but we want more of you. Fill our vision, fill our hearts, fill our lives, and shine to this world through us. In your name, Lord Jesus, to your glory. Amen.